So many still believe the path to robotaxi is many years away. It's easy to point to Elon Musk's claims that he's been making every year since 2015 that robotaxi is near, to then believe that it will not come at all. Today, we'll be speaking with a well-known Tesla full self-driving beta tester who's been testing the system thoroughly ever since its release. We'll ask him to share what improvements he's seen and to point out the areas that are still troublesome. How close are we? With Tesla's recently revealing that Dojo, their supercomputer, will be going into production in July, the FSD team will now have immense computing power available to process vast amounts of real-world driving data that its fleet of millions of Teslas currently on the road are generating. And what we now expect is an even more exponential rate of improvement. Robotaxi is in fact inevitable and imminent. Welcome, Chris. Appreciate you joining me in this channel today.
Thank you so much. I'm happy to be here.
Wonderful. So Chris runs a YouTube channel called Dirty Tesla with over 100,000 subscribers, 600 videos, and 32 million views. He is without a doubt one of the top FSD beta testers out there. Plus, it doesn't hurt that Elon Musk himself follows Chris on Twitter. Looking forward to getting brighter with you, Chris. Thank you so much. Tell me first, how did Elon follow you and why would he follow you, Chris?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, to be totally honest, I have no idea. So, you know, over the years of doing all this stuff, I was never much of a Twitter user. I was fully into YouTube. And, you know, once you realize Elon Musk himself is on Twitter and responds to people and will give feedback or whatever, I was like, well, I'll spend some time there. And over the years, you know, he starts to interact. I mean, he'll interact with anybody. It's so cool to have one of the most powerful people on the planet just like respond to things or laugh at tweets or whatever. So I spend a lot of time on Twitter now. I love it these days. But, you know, he's interacted over the years, a few responses, a few likes. He even apologized to me one time when I complained about something, which I thought was very funny. And then out of the blue one day, my Twitter's blowing up. I'm like, hey, what's going on here? And it's like, oh, Elon Musk followed me. That's quite the surprise. So,
yeah, he does not follow that many people. So it's a real, selection on his part. You are somebody, as we'll find out, have tremendous amount of videos. You pay particular attention to these, to the improvement of full self-driving.
Now, this stop sign, in the past, we've seen some unneeded hesitancy. So let's see if that's been corrected. We'll make a complete stop. Obviously, we're here before that van, and we continue before they get there. So that felt great. That felt really good. In the past, as someone's coming towards the stop sign, the car would still wait for them, even though they're like not even close to it. So that felt great.
So right off the bat, what I need to know, right? You are testing the latest version 11.4.4. You'll tell me your story later about how it all started, but right now, you've been testing this latest version. And I think what most people are really interested to know at this point is, what is it that it still cannot do?
Sure. Yeah, it still has a long way to go. So there's a few, it's still, of course, sometimes we'll have little weird things where it maybe we'll try to pull in front of a car or take the wrong turn or something. Nothing too dramatic, but there's a few specific things that to this day, it's either still is not doing correctly and messing up, or has kind of gained a new bug, let's say. So one of the most concrete things, kind of obvious, in my opinion, is emergency vehicles. So if you have a police car and an ambulance coming up behind you, the car, it doesn't know what that is. It doesn't know what to do about that. So it just keeps driving. So of course, you just take over and pull over yourself. But it's just kind of a basic, I wouldn't call that an edge case, right? I think most people would agree. It's just an ability the car doesn't have yet. Now, there are abilities the car has gained. For me, I used to really complain about no turn on reds. The car couldn't read that sign. It would always still make a right turn, even when it was illegal. And these days, it now has that ability. It just popped up in an update. And I haven't had it mess that up a single time ever since it gained that ability. So that's great. Another thing that I'm having is just lane selection. So this is kind of a newer bug, I would call it, where the car, for whatever reason, wants to switch into lanes that either are temporary or they're, say, a right turn only lane when you're going straight for the next 3 miles. And it does this consistently. So it's one thing for the car to, you know, accidentally make a turn or do something a little weird here and there. But to have bugs that are more consistent is a bit surprising to me, especially because in this version 11 update, we have the voice feedback feature. So if you take over, the car prompts you and says, hey, do you want to leave some voice and anonymous feedback and let us know why you took over? And I've been kind of, you know, doing those same things daily for months, and it's pretty much the same bugs are there. Again, nothing catastrophic. I'm sure it's going to be one software update and it's fixed. So there's that. And then my last kind of big complaint that is one of my most skeptical points right now is going to be high speed cross traffic. So when you're turning left or right, and you know the road speed limit is say above 40-ish or 50-ish miles per hour, so cars are going 55, 60 miles per hour, I feel the car can't see far enough for those fast approaching vehicles. And I know you've talked to Chuck Cook before, and that's part of his problem is he has cars from both sides, you know, coming at 50-ish or more miles per hour. And it's kind of the same thing for me. Most of the time the car handles it well, but every once in a while, it just goes to pull out. And to me, I mean, it's obvious there's a car coming and there's no question, there's no obstructions, there's nothing. And the car still wants to pull out. And, you know, I'm like, this is kind of a basic, you're making a right turn here. It's not that complicated. So those are off the top of my head, kind of the biggest weak points right now.
Okay. And then which are the ones that you are very impressed that it's actually been able to solve? Like I've heard that it used to not be able to do roundabouts, but now can do roundabouts, right? It used to not be able to do blinking yellows and now it can do those kind of things. So what are the lists of things that it used to not be able to do, but now it can do?
Sure. So back in the day, you know, it's hard having tested this for, it's almost 3 years now, you get kind of muddied up in your head with all the updates and all the changes over time. But man, if you look back, exactly what you said, roundabouts, the first one I ever tried in 2020, it tried to drive right through the middle of it. And so I was like, okay, that's not an ability. Whereas now I still, you know, I still have some trouble with roundabouts sometimes. But I would say over 50% of the time it will do them correctly. I would do, which is more normal, is like, well, they're going to, you know, yield, they have a yield sign. And if they don't, I may have to slam on the brake at the last second. So that entrance was perfect into the roundabout. And that whole sequence through the roundabout was perfect. Couldn't have been done better that time. And then we brake as we're coming out. I don't know why it thinks 20 here. I'm going to bump that up a little bit because it's, I don't know why it does that. And then the other 50%, it'll kind of wiggle through there, or it'll try to stop in the roundabout or something goofy, but nothing too crazy. And then, you know, I'll use your example as well. The blinking yellow lights, it used to think they were red, and it goes back to, you know, back in the day, especially before beta, autopilot looked at the world around it. I hope I'm saying this the right way, in images. So it would basically see a picture of the world. And then a second later, a picture of the world. And so you have to, if you see a picture of a yellow light, you know, that doesn't, it's not blinking. Is it turning to a red light? You don't know. And so now the car, more of the cameras are analyzing a video feed rather than a still image. And so again, I hope I'm saying this all correctly. It's something like that. And so it much more gracefully will handle these blinking yellows. Sometimes you get a little bit of slowing, which in my opinion, I think is appropriate because it does mean caution. But it will, you know, 99% of the time glide right through there. Another thing that has dramatically improved the experience of the car, especially safety wise, maybe not exactly like in driving dynamics, but the occupancy network has really blown me away, where Tesla uses video feed to basically mimic LiDAR's abilities and can take objects in the world and kind of put them in the virtual world and say, oh, this is, it doesn't matter, a bus, a traffic cone, a road close sign, and be like, that's something there that I can't drive through, right? You don't have to know what it is. You just got to know you can't bump into it. You have to drive around it, whatever it is. And so that has dramatically improved the car's abilities, especially when you compare it to kind of the missing radar that was taken away. I think that kind of replaced some of the radar's abilities that we missed once it was removed.
Okay, that's a good list. And then I've also noticed as I use the beta as well, that it's starting to recognize things that it never used to recognize before. Like, do you know some interesting things? Like it used to not be able to recognize, it can recognize a dog, but now it can recognize small dogs versus large dogs, like things like that. What have you noticed that it can now spot? And you know, the visualization is just so impressive. It is able to track all sorts of things, so many things because of the 8 cameras. But you know, the labeling part is what is even more impressive, that it actually recognizes and knows that that's a stop sign, you know, and that's a garbage can, of course, and those are cones. But now the list is tremendous, right? So what are the ones that are most interesting to you?
Yeah. So when beta first came out, if you remember, everything was just a box. So cars and people and bikes, everything was like a box. So you didn't know what the car was labeling it as, but you did know, okay, see some of this, I'm going to run into whatever that is, a dog, a deer, anything. To avoid the deer, as the deer moves right across the road, the car then reroutes and it shows on the screen a path to the left to avoid the deer while still braking with the green regen line. As my car gets closer to the deer, it moves over to the left to avoid it. Then my car is finished slowing down and speeds back up
as the deer is off the road and avoided. Here is the raw, unedited clip.
And then they gave us kind of the graphics back of the cars and everything. And things that have been added, like you said, the dogs, those are new-ish. So we'll see dogs. There's kind of some debate whether it visualizes cats or not. But like you said, it has the big dog or the small dog. So there's some debate whether that's the small dog graphic or a cat graphic. I'm not sure myself which is which. They look pretty similar. So there's that. And then you have, of course, cyclists, motorcycles, pedestrians, and those things are all incredibly important. And the car is very good at labeling those things. So there's still a lot. I did one of my, you know, speaking of Elon on Twitter, one of the responses I got from him a while ago, I forget exactly what my tweet was, but he basically told me the point of the visualization eventually is it's going to recreate the real world. So you're going to see, you know, whatever there is out there in the world, you're going to see it on that screen because the car is going to be putting all that data into the cameras and, you know, using it to kind of remap the world so it can drive around. Those improvements have been really impressive. I was just gonna say, speaking of deer, I'll mention as well, I posted a pic recently. If a deer is in front of you, the car visualizes that as a dog as well. So,
okay. So that part, it can't tell the difference. Can it tell the difference between a shopping cart and a baby carriage?
No. So sometimes it's funny when you're going down the road, a baby carriage will be displayed as a really mini car. So, you know, like you just said, it doesn't know the difference between a dog and a deer, but doesn't really matter. It's an animal in the road and it knows not to hit it. Right. I think that's like the most important part. And then, yeah, when you look at the visual of a shopping cart or a baby carriage, shopping cart, both of those things are usually visualized as vehicles. But it has a dynamic ability to display whatever vehicle it's seeing as the appropriate size. So if you see a really small car on the visual, like a baby carriage, it's not a car, but it'll show it as a tiny little car next to like a big car, not an SUV, because that's visualized. It's got its own visual. It'll be a huge car. So it can make those differences in size of objects as well.
Yeah, I think we should point out, though, that this is a very, 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 very difficult problem to solve for computers. This is possibly the hardest problem for computers. This is real-world labeling and you know, vision labeling things. And no one else has been able to do this. And so the fact that they're actually making improvements like this, it's massive. It's critical.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, the cars, you can think of them as like, I've heard others say the best cone detection object in the world, because it sees all the cones, it maps exactly where they are. And to be fair, you know, to Tesla, we don't know what labeling they have going on. There is a lot of labeling in the background that is not put on the display. So it may say, you know, in the metadata there, it may say, oh, this is this is a shopping cart, you know, or things like that. And we've seen demos where they show wet road, like it's labeled as the road is wet. It's amazing stuff, but we don't see that data, at least for now.
Gotcha. Yeah. So I guess I have to ask a question. So you are in Michigan, right? And
yep.
Near Detroit, right?
North of Detroit. Yep.
North of Detroit. Okay. So is there, I think many people are asking the question, why does people like Omar, who runs Whole Mars Catalog on Twitter, and he does a tremendous amount of YouTube videos on FSD as well. He's in California, and he seems to report, and we can watch it, amazing rides, no disengagements, just amazing. So is it overfitted for the California roads, specifically the San Francisco roads? Is there such a thing? I believe it is, right? I've heard quite a bit that certain geographies are, because there's so many Teslas, because specifically there's a lot of Tesla employees who've been really working on that area, that it runs better there. And do you think that that's what's happening, that in Detroit happens to be that probably less, or is it something that you have another answer to that?
Well, yes, that's probably the number of Teslas is probably one of the main factors. And if you look, if you rewatch AI Day 2, that I luckily was able to attend, they talked about how they use Teslas driving down the road to basically create a map of the area. And the more Teslas that are driving through there, they can keep refining and recreating this map. So if you have exactly what you said, a lot of Teslas driving in one area, that area down to the turns, to what lanes do what, say it's a right turn lane or a left turn lane or a straight lane, all of that will be mapped much more accurately if you have more cars driving through there, which would also give way to more disengagements, right? Which is going to give you more feedback. So that seems to be a big part of it. And you know what? Lately, I've had honestly, I said to Omar, like, I feel like you lately, because beta has been so good for me. And again, it doesn't mean it's not making any mistakes or anything, but every, I don't know, third, fourth, fifth drive, it's zero intervention. I do nothing. And if you would have asked me that 6 months ago, I'd be like, oh no, I have to take over all the time. It breaks too much, blah, blah, blah. Whereas these days, like, I'm having trouble. I have to keep making new routes to test because it keeps like dominating all of them. It like does them flawlessly. And I'm like, okay, this isn't teaching me anything.
Oh, so that's very interesting. So you basically confirm that if you drive it in a certain route and you do that many times, it does kind of conquer it and knows that particular route. Is that correct?
Yeah. I mean, I'm an individual person, so, you know, it's only so much data that we're going off of, but yes, from my anecdotal personal experience, if I do the same routes over and over and over again, I mean, I set up a test route so it could be at least somewhat scientific when we'd get these new updates. And then I got like three or four updates in a row, and every single time it was either zero intervention, so I did absolutely nothing, or maybe I pressed an accelerator or something. And it's like, okay, well, if it's just going to do it perfectly every time, I'm not learning that there's any improvements, right? So now I try to mix up the routes to make it mess up, to be like, okay, here's where it still needs, you know, some work or something.
Yeah.
But it is getting harder.
Yeah. So I think, you know, this is my understanding, right? So obviously FSD is a beta program and they released it to everybody. And now they've opened it up to any person. It's a public. If you decide you got a Tesla, you decide you want to try FSD beta, you pay for it, you can have it right away. They used to restrict that to just special people like you. But the what they were doing the last several years is optimizing for vision, which means that every drive you make, they try to not even... they pretend it's brand new and they want it to recognize everything as if it's the first time it's ever seen it. And I've heard that recently they've now turned on, for lack of a better word, this is probably wrong, but I call it memory, where if they've driven, like you just said it, you know, if you've driven that route before, if other Teslas have driven that route before, it knows. And I understand it's even more specific. It's not just this lane, that lane, but it actually knows, I can't remember this specific thing, but the turning radius or something like that. It knows very, like the curb length, the curb heights and all that, because it's had so many cameras map it, like as if it's real world. So that, you know, that's why I think that for beta testers, they want you to test the vision in brand new routes it's never seen before, scenes that it's never had before, and see if it can do it. But if you actually have driven the same route over and over again, it can then optimize for it. And so, you know, this is a conversation I was going to throw later, but I'll throw it out now. Here's why I think my thinking of how they might roll this out, and, you know, you're the expert, you can tell me, but I would think that if Tesla said, okay, Herbert, you've driven this car 20 times from your house to your work and from work back home, just for that specific route, we'll take it over. And they might say at some point, you can go to sleep, and I'll be liable insurance, but just for that particular route. Could you think that that might be one way that they would do this? Some people think that's crazy, but just, you know.
Yeah, it's hard level. To. Yeah, no, I mean, it sounds like a good idea. And it's something, especially, you know, when beta was new and it was just making mistakes constantly. I mean, you'd be taken over all the time per drive. It was, I kind of had this like, man, I wish they would just fix my route, because I do this every single day and having to take over for the same easy left turn every single day. I mean, it just would mess up the same thing every time. And you're like, oh, just, can you learn this so I can, you know, chill a little bit. So I think it's possible. And something that I've noticed is, which relates to this, is the downtown drives these days, even though downtown is much busier, way more people, way more cars, they tend to go much better than my more rural driving around where I live. And it's slower in downtown. There's more time to kind of think about what you're going to do. It's okay to kind of stop here and there to really assess. So almost like a semi-geo-locked service, almost like what you're saying, I could definitely see it. Like, okay, in this downtown, we've mapped it so well, you can go from here to here. I mean, that's what, you know, Cruise and Waymo are doing right now. So I don't see why Tesla couldn't do that. On the other end of that, Tesla and I think Elon Musk have been pretty clear that their goal and their idea of the solution to this, which no one knows if this is right because it's not done yet, is basically AGI, making it like make a car that can drive itself anywhere you plop it down, maybe start with just the US or something, and solve for everything. Don't do those individual things. So nobody knows what Tesla's going to do, but honestly, yeah, I could see it going either way. I don't see why that would be bad for them to have little routes here and there that, you know,
yeah.
Now there's,
cause you just said that higher level confidence for certain things. And then, so just today, Ashok, who's the Tesla FSD lead, tweeted out saying, because of the talk of Tesla potentially partnering with India, and that Elon just met with the Indian Prime Minister. And you know how everybody loves to show how people drive in India. It's just crazy, a bunch of ants going in every direction. Ashok tweeted out and saying something like, you know, this is his dream, that one day that this will be able to solve that particular craziness. And that's how he said, I'll know that Tesla's reached AGI.
Right.
Which is the opposite of what I was thinking. It shows you how dumb I am. I was actually thinking opposite of what everybody else was saying, which is that it's actually, I think, easier to drive in a crazy situation where there are no rules. So I once drove in Manila, Philippines, and people don't, in certain areas, they don't follow the rules. They just go from one area to whatever, and it's a diagonal line. I'm going to go that way. I don't care. I don't need to follow any stop signs and left, right here, rules, nothing. Just go. And then what you just do is avoid anybody, which is actually not that hard to avoid somebody coming at you, because, like, you know, Tesla's FSD is so good at knowing what's around it and what not to hit. But, you know, it screws up when it doesn't recognize a rule. So, but I guess I'm wrong.
Yeah, no, I agree. I haven't really thought of that, but I really agree with what you just said, because if you could just unleash this thing and there's no rules, it's almost guaranteed it's not going to hit anything. It's so good at mapping out the world around it. Its biggest flaw would that it would just be it stuck, because it's going to be subservient to everybody around. But as it's just kind of a thought experiment. If nobody cared about going over lines, or, you know, not using your blinker or cutting across lines or something, that the car would probably get A to B. It just probably would take a while.
Yeah. So you've been using this since the beginning, right? So you, I think I asked you the question, who was first that was offered FSD beta after the employees when it just rolled out 3 years ago? Can you tell me the story of how that happened, and why you, and what got you interested in all this?
Yeah, sure. So yeah, it started with John and Brandon. So those were the two on Twitter who got it first. Everyone's like, what is happening? It was so out of nowhere. And then it rolled out to some more of the big kind of Tesla accounts over the next month or so. So that was October 2020, and it rolled out to some more. Well, at that time, I, of course, didn't have as many followers or anything as I do now. I think my YouTube channel, I don't know, let's say 30 or 40,000, something like that. Not that it matters that much. But at that point, I had already been making full self-driving and autopilot videos for, I think, over 2 years. So just using the public version, I obviously didn't have beta, but I loved this self-driving stuff. So even though autopilot didn't have that many abilities, what I would do is I'd do these things called Tesla challenges, where Tesla advertised navigate on autopilot can go on ramp to off ramp. It can do that. So I was like, well, I'm going to get in the car and I'm going to just not do anything. I don't care if it's, you know, rude, as long as it's safe. I'm just going to let it do its thing, change lanes all over the place, take exits. And people love those videos, and I loved making them. So, you know, at that time, I had years of experience already filming like this kind of video. And this whole campaign started on Twitter of people like, get Dirty Tesla beta. Like, why doesn't this guy have beta? You know, he's safe. He's been doing this for years. And before that, actually, one of Andre Karpathy's presentations had a picture from one of my videos in it. So Omar started making this joke, like, oh, we know that Karpathy watches your videos. They have to, which I'm sure he didn't, but, you know, so just all this campaign. And then, you know, one day back in the day, Tesla actually called you. They would personally call your phone.
Wow.
And say, hey, will you be safe using this? And so, you know, I accepted from that. So was it the Twitter campaign? It's probably related. It's hard to say. But yeah, I felt really kind of privileged to be able to contribute.
Yeah, people love you. That's fantastic. That's a great story. And, you know, I think one of the things that I do like to point out to people, because one of the big arguments against Elon is that they say, well, he's been saying that Tesla's going to get robotaxi every year since 2015. And then they love to show that clip where he's basically saying it's going to happen this year, it's going to happen this year, and it's going to happen.
Yep.
It is true. Okay, I'm not saying that that isn't true, but there is nuances to what he actually said. 2015, 2018, he was talking about autopilot on highways. He wasn't talking robotaxi at that point. And the funny thing is, autopilot on highways was solved is so reliable today. We barely talk about it, but we all use it and we love it. And there's no issues and it's actually safer. Now, there was obviously that one very public accident that happened with the autopilot, with the guy hitting the semi, and a couple, I think, that happened. But it's solved. And that's what he was saying from 2014 to 2018. And then since then, of course, he's been talking about a robotaxi. So any comment on whenever you hear him say it's going to come this year, the way you described FSD was you basically were saying it's not ready. It's got so many issues still. And yet when you step back, you did say it has able to do all these things that it used not to be able to do. It's a tremendous improvement and certain routes it can do really, really well. So there's nuances to how you answer that, but what do you think when you hear him say it's going to be this year?
Sure. So I'm a scientist, so I'm extremely skeptical of everything by nature. I need lots of evidence. Even my wife will tell me something. I go, are you sure about that? She does not like that, but that's what I do. So yes, I am still skeptical. Now I'm kind of over the whole like, oh, Elon said it and he was late. Yes, he's late about lots of things and he ends up doing them. Him and his teams, I mean, the teams he has put together. Obviously he's not coding this all by himself. It's a team of amazing people and they are doing a fantastic job. So man, what a big question. So the first thing I kind of want to comment on is, you know, you mentioned the accident. There've been a few accidents on autopilot or whatever. That there will never not be accidents. Even trains and planes get into accidents, right? It's extremely rare. And it's tragic, but it happens. So just because a car, even theoretically, is perfectly self-driving, there will still be accidents. It's impossible for them to not happen anymore. So in terms of when it's coming, I'm more on the skeptical side. I mean, I'll say flat out, I do not think I will be sleeping in the back of my car on the way to work by January 1st of 2024. Yep. I don't think that's going to happen. Well, and you know, Elon's current timeline is, oh, I think this year. With that said, does it really matter if it gets to that point in 2024, 2025, 2026? It's coming eventually. And it's going to change the world in ways that nobody can imagine, especially when this gets applied to, you know, hauling freight and doing all those, doing jobs, just simple in-city robo-taxi things. The safety that people are going to gain from this is going to be unimaginable. I mean, people, you know, you see one autopilot accident right now, like what, 17 are being investigated over the past like 10 years. Are you kidding me? 17 accidents. Yeah. Do you know how many accidents happen every single day? It makes me so aggravated that people, you know, you got like the pro Tesla side. That's like everything they do is perfect. And there's not many of those people, but there's some. And then you got the anti-Tesla side. That's everything they do is evil. And it's like people, nothing is like that on Earth. You gotta stand back, take an objective view, and look at this. So safety has been improved immensely already. We already know that. The stats are there. If FSD beta or autopilot wasn't safe, do you really think the government would allow it on the roads? No, it doesn't work that way. It is extremely safe as it is today, and it's only getting safer. So the system is going to continue to improve, especially like you mentioned earlier with Dojo coming online. I mean, I can't even imagine. I don't think anybody can really imagine what that's going to do to all the data coming in, not to mention all the millions of cars Tesla's selling now. It's just, there's so many things happening from so many different directions. It's going to blow everybody away, probably me included, because, you know, I complained about roundabouts or whatever. One software update, and that's not a problem anymore. This thing I was complaining about, my car updates overnight and it's all fixed. So, I mean, I'm optimistic, but in kind of a longer term.
Yeah. Okay. No. Well, so this is the rate of improvement is exponential. And like you said, with Dojo, he has said that you don't need the Dojo supercomputer to solve this. Yep. The version 11 is a step change because it's a single stack. And whenever they rebuild the software, which means they got rid of the coded software and they built a neural net, which means the computer's learning on its own, it's going to get three steps backwards. It's like a baby all of a sudden. It needs to relearn the world. And because it's designed to code itself as opposed to somebody coding it. And so there's a huge step back with version 11. But the reason why he thinks it's going to happen this year is because he knows that there's no more rate limiting step. He believes that the neural nets that they've designed, which is now single stack, is enough that it's like a baby learning, then it becomes a child, then it becomes a teenager. And with Dojo coming on board in July, which is next month, the billions of hours of video that's coming in from the millions and millions of cars driving this, it can basically learn that, and it's going to be like boom, in like less than a week, everything is solved. Not everything. There's going to be millions of edge cases, but all the little things that are so obvious will not be an issue anymore. That's how that's going to work. Okay. Right. And the bar is actually very low, as you kind of indicated. Human drivers are terrible. They're terrible drivers. There's lots of 16-year-olds who are just learning how to drive, people who can't see, older people, the people are drinking and driving, the people are using social media apps. They're terrible. So actually, surprisingly, even though we say that FSC making all these mistakes, it's actually the bar, we're setting it to perfection versus humans are right. Just not that perfect themselves.
Right. Yeah. When I talk about the mistakes, they're usually not anything. So at the end of my videos, I usually say like, all right, if I had, had a heart attack or whatever, would I have made it to my destination? Even if I did disengage or whatever. Nice. Yeah. Pretty much every drive is like, yeah, I would have made it there. Maybe it would have cut someone off or something, but it's not like it was going to plow into a wall. Like I said, it's extremely safe as is today. So the hard part about, you said the bar is low. And it is, because humans have so many accidents daily, hourly. But the problem comes in, this is something I've wanted to talk about, I haven't had a good media, where, okay, let's say there's, 500 accidents a day, whatever, just make up a number. If Tesla is 10 times safer than a person, which maybe it's there now, maybe not, that's now 50 accidents a day. That's awesome. The problem is all 50 are now attributed to Tesla. So
I know.
Yeah. They got to be like 10,000 times safer than a human or something before you can really have someone before they can take liability, I guess I should say.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Well, that's why I'm saying that it's going to be probably geofence. It's going to be very route limited. I'm curious how you know and how you've been tracking the improvements. Is it a lot of people think that it's, rate of disengagements, but a lot of the people think that that's not the right measure to be using. The one that most people say is it significant other ready? So for your situation, your specific spouse, is this significant other ready for you?
So yeah, you know what? We started the wife testing of Tesla products back in 2019. That's when we made our first video. My wife literally just trying the car. She didn't even want to drive it. And of course she fell in love and blah, blah, blah. So if you look back at our beta videos, I make every once in a while with my wife whenever we have time, it used to scare her like really bad. She didn't like it. She then mostly was worried about how awkward it was, because it would slowly kind of creep through a stop sign or like stop really hard or put blinkers on all over the place. You know what? And it was nice to have that kind of gauge, because I'm a nerd and I'm excited about it. And like, I'll call it as it is, but I'm also a little lenient and I like it and whatever. I loved having that gauge where she didn't like it. Because then I could bring it in the car, and if she was like, oh, this is good, I was like, yes, it is good. Like, it's not just me, being excited about it. Well, now, fast forward to like literally, I'm not even kidding, this weekend, like 3 days ago, we went for a drive, and she's like, yeah, it's cool, I don't care. Like, she's into it now. And so our next thing is now she's going to, as soon as we can, we're going to make a video with her driving it, because she refused to ever touch it. Now she's at the point, she's at the point now where she's really comfortable with it, and she wants to try it out. And she wants to make a video like of her experience. So on the one hand, I'm kind of sad to lose that gauge, because now she's used to it and it's good enough to where she's, happy with it. On the other hand, it's definitely a big accomplishment, because it's been, like I said, almost 3 years of her hating this thing. And just in the last like month or so, it's kind of gotten smooth and comfortable enough where she is pretty happy with it.
So a perfect conversation here. This is the one that I'm most excited about, okay, is FSD as an ADAS system. So this is human operated still, okay? Just to be very clear, all the viewers here, today Tesla's full self-driving is human operated. You are driving the car, right? Human supervised is probably the right word. The car is driving itself, but you as a human are still responsible for that, okay? But that combination of human server supervised plus the 8 cameras and having the ability to not hit anything, because it knows, it's like you said earlier, it's so safe, it will not hit things, because that it does really, really well, is actually the combination is better than either alone. And that's coming out now in data that's been out there. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, but there comes a point though where people will prefer or will not be able to not have FSD beta turned on while they're driving, but still be alert. Like, for example, people don't realize this. If I'm using FSD beta and I'm super alert, I'm definitely very hyper aware, right? But I'm actually more relaxed because if I'm turning left, I can feel comfortable. I take a look and I see it's safe. But as I look to the right, I know that the car is also looking to the left. And so I actually feel like I've got like 4 eyes, which I do. I've got 8 eyes plus my 2, you know, yeah. 10 eyes. Wherever I look, it's also looking all over the place. So I feel safer. You know what I'm saying? Like, where comes a point where people like will, even though I'm not saying I'm going to go back to sleep in a car, I'm going to let this thing drive me, but it's so much more comfortable to have it on, just like what's happening with autopilot. So today, when I go from Seattle to Vancouver, Canada, that's a 2.5 hour drive, I will turn on autopilot and I'm still very careful, but oh my God, I feel so comfortable. I feel so relaxed, even though I'm even more safer and I'm definitely still very attentive, but there is so much, I don't have to keep my foot on the, you know, hovering on the brakes and just being careful. And you know what I'm saying? There's just so much of that. Right. So what do you think about that concept of it being as a human supervised ADAS system?
Yeah, I think these days it's amazing. So again, I keep comparing it to the old days because I think the context helps, but it was very stressful in the beginning. It was not, unless you were interested in this and wanted to test it out and wanted to kind of help give data or share it with YouTube videos or whatever, it's not something anybody would use, like not even close, because it was just flying all over the place. And all the videos are still up. If anyone like doesn't believe me, you go look. Like, it was hitting curves and everything. It was crazy. Whereas these days, I actually, you know what you just said, I already find myself feeling that way when yeah. I am going to make a turn on a road with multiple lanes where I have to, you know, do this thing when I'm making a left turn, look back and forth. I look this way, I see nobody. I look this way, I see nobody. And I have the thought in my head, hey, I'm not looking that way. Is now somebody coming? And having the system do that, I totally agree. I'm already at that point where it looking around while I also look around is so nice. So it is finally getting to the point. There's still a learning curve. You're not going to throw some random person in there that's never heard of Tesla and have them turn it on and be comfortable. Like, that, it's definitely not there yet. There's a learning curve, but I think way more people are going to be tolerant of that learning curve today and be able to really like take advantage of the system and enjoy using it, you know, compared to a year or two ago. So, I don't know if you wanted me to comment on the interventions and disengagements, because So back in the day, like, I don't know, a long time ago, I started tracking interventions and disengagements because I'm making these videos and it's still, you know, it's making so many mistakes. People are like, how? It's not even improving. Like, it's not even changing. Like, you are taking over constantly. And it's been, you know, months of doing this. And I go, all right, I'm going to start tracking all these interventions and disengagements, especially on similar routes, but it should really translate to overall driving. And I did that for a while and I wasn't seeing much in the data, and it was not that much work for me, but it was just extra work and nobody seemed to care. So I stopped doing it. Well, then at some point, you know, Elon Musk on an earnings call said, he was like, cause you know, people want to know the data, and somebody asked, and he was like, you know what, if there's YouTube videos and there's testers out there, if these guys want to track the data, they will clearly see the improvement. So like, okay, well, I got to continue doing that. Like, I guess I shouldn't have dropped it. And so I track that. And at the end of every single video I make, as long as it's an A to B and I don't cut anything, I will put the miles, the amount of interventions and the amount of disengagements. And then I track those per mile. So, you know, these numbers should be getting incredibly high. It should be 500 miles per disengagement or whatever. So if you look at my charts, they're, you know, cumulative over the past couple of years, it is getting better. Now, it's still not on, you know, with a Waymo or a Cruise, not that you can directly compare those anyway, but it's clearly, especially the 11.3 and 11.4 updates. I mean, it's like, it is starting to move up like more than I would have thought. So I do track those and I think they're important. At the same time, as I said before, I'm just one person, so it's not scientific. It's better than nothing. Even though I'm a scientist, I do my best. It's still not scientific. You need more data. And then a lot of it also can come down to preference. You'll have some people that are going to hit the accelerator a lot more just because they're impatient. Should you count that as a disengagement? No, of course not. I wouldn't count that. But some people might. You should really only count things that you have to do because the car is not doing it correctly. So.
Okay. So tell me about the perception of people. So there is obviously your viewers who are watching these YouTube videos. I know that FSD beta is one of the top search terms. But do you find that your viewers are kind of the evangelist who's already been sold and they're watching it because they believe in Tesla and they're investors in Tesla? And I'm curious what kind of comments they make versus the strangers, people who don't know anything and what their impression is of what it is. Do you have noticed anything of that in your comments or conversation you have with your viewers?
Yeah, for sure. There's a big variety. So, you know, a lot of my videos will go to mostly my subscriber base, of course. And, you know, YouTube, I'm sure you know all about the algorithm and how it doles out the videos and all that. So a lot of times it's people commenting that are familiar with Tesla and Full Self-Driving Beta and myself. So the comments are pretty tame. There's a lot of times people will disagree with me. You know, I try to describe what the car's doing and kind of my thoughts. It doesn't always mean that, like, you know, if I say, oh, the car's accelerating kind of slowly here, it doesn't, I'm not necessarily saying that's wrong. I just try to, you can't feel that when you're watching a video. So I just try to convey everything, you know, and people will respond saying, oh, no, that's not correct, which, I love to hear that. I like to hear how everybody thinks differently because, you know, you'll have something that started going a little tangent, but you'll have something as simple as a stop sign. And you'll have five comments and they all have five different opinions on what the car should have done there. It's so funny. And it's different from my opinion. So it's six different opinions on like what the car should have done at a stop sign. It's like, okay. So most of the comments are pretty tame. Now, I just had a video a few days, last week or something, that is getting picked up by the algorithm, which thank God, you know, that's always a nice bonus. And so that's when you start to get the comments from people that don't know who you are. They don't know anything about, you know, Full Self-Driving. They're not fans of it or whatever. And so you get really, I mean, YouTube's weird sometimes. You get weird comments. Like one of them was like, I don't know, like what if you hit a kid right now? Like, I'm like, what? Like, I would hit the brake. Like, why are you even asking that? Like, I'm not going to let that happen. Like, that's crazy. And then other things like, I cannot believe this guy can beta test his software that just got updated 2 minutes ago on public roads. And like, on a surface level, I can get where they're coming from. Don't get me wrong. But again, if people would like dive into actual data and information, they wouldn't have these weird thoughts. You know, if they realize what you said, it's an ADAS, it's not driving it, like it's driving itself, but I'm in control. So if it does something, I can just hit the brake. So yeah, if the video gets doled out to new people, you'll get all kinds of like angry. Some people are really angry. They're like, I cannot believe you're allowing this. You should be in jail. Like people said that to me and I'm like, I have a driver's license. I'm allowed to be on the road. Like it's pretty much as simple as that.
Yeah, no, I have friends who feel the same way. How dare you do FSD beta testing? It's interesting because they think it's more dangerous. They think that you're just closing your eyes and letting this thing do its thing and you're going to kill people. And do they understand how many people are killed every day with human drivers? And so if it's true that beta testing is killing people at outsized numbers, you still want to be testing this because it is a solution to stopping the 3 airline full of, crashing from the sky every single day. And that's just the deaths, you know? So it's 400,000 deaths per year. It's a ridiculous number that needs to stop. And so, but the truth is that it's actually safer. Like I just explained to people that right now, like we have not seen the numbers going up. It's actually already safer today. Tesla released data to show that FSD beta today is safer than the average human now.
Right.
It's 2 to 3 times safer. And what you need to do is get to the 5 to 6 times safer with the new FSD, with the new hardware for improved cameras. We'll get to 5 to 6 times. And just today, Elon tweeted out just an hour ago, that he believes FSD hardware 5, the next version after the hardware 4, which is out now, will get to the 10 times safer number. And that 10 right, times safer for sure. number is what he believes is what's needed for regulation to approve this. Basically, robotaxis can be approved everywhere. You got to hit the 10 times safer. I think he's thrown out 20 times safer as well, but he thinks that 10 times safer is enough.
If it was actually like causing harm, if it was actually killing people in the public and causing harm, I think there'd probably be better ways to test it, than in the public. And like I said, if that was happening, regulators, what it would be gone. I mean, it'd be gone so fast. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't be funny how fast this would be banned. It's already been recalled, you know, by NHTSA. So they would just recall it for good and say like, all right, take this off everyone's cars. You can't use it anymore. It would be taken away immediately. But like you said, the fact is it's not doing that. And that, you know what, that's pretty much my response. When these people comment stuff like that on the video, I assume they're new. I assume they don't know what they're talking about. I'm always very respectful to commenters. I mean, if they have, you know, if they're at least kind of respectful, but if they say something too crazy, I just ignore it. But, you know, when they say like, oh, how is this? How dare you test this, you know, on roads? You're going to kill somebody. I say, you know, this has already been on the roads for almost 3 years and there's over 400,000 cars using it. So, you know, if this is the first time you're hearing of it, you can probably then assume it's really not that dangerous, or you would have already known, or it wouldn't be allowed anymore. So it's just, the fact is it's not dangerous. It's just not. So. Yeah.
A lot of that is hatred for Elon or Tesla clouding their opinions, but that's the value of your videos. That's why it's important that you do your videos. It's not just for the Tesla investors who are really curious and very excited to see the improvement, because this is going to change not only society, but change the Tesla investment through, you know, 10x, 20x, 50x, because it is just crazy how valuable this is. But the people who don't even understand where it's sitting at, that's why you're doing your videos. They see this and now they're learning. I think what you said, 400,000 cars are able to test out FSD beta, but 99.9% of population of humans have no friggin' idea that the car can actually do what it's doing on its own, that it will recognize a stop sign and stop, that it can see green lights and red lights pretty well 99% of the time. It can do that properly and drive and stop, you know, to do roundabouts. Even my brother didn't know this, you know, like until you actually show them.
Right.
Did you not know? Because it's so new. But it is, it's an important thing that you're doing. So I'm glad that you keep doing this at the level that you're doing at. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. I mean, that's the point. I put it out there, and of course everyone has their biases, including myself. And I, you know, I give my opinions in the videos, but the point is to just show it, and then people can see and they can take whatever take they want from it. You know, if the car makes a mistake or does a perfect drive or whatever, you can then use that information. That's kind of my goal in almost everything I do. Here's information. Please use it and make, you know, rational decisions with it.
And the bar that Tesla is going for is very high, because if they were just trying to do a geofenced area, and like you were saying, you just picked a couple routes that it does, and you do that a million times, like, you know, 10 times a day for the next 6 months, it will pretty well master that. And that's what Waymo and Cruise does. They've got a very specific route. They only go to the same areas all the time, and they've got all this, you know, thousands and thousands of dollars worth of equipment. And they're very restricted on times of day they can go and how fast they drive. But Tesla's trying to just be able to do this at anywhere, anytime, any place. And that's why when you say it can't do that yet, can't do this yet. Well, because its bar is much higher. It's trying to be able to like take over the world, any world. And as we've been hearing now, it's FSD betas. Now people are, Tesla employees are being hired in like 8 different countries around the world. We've seen Europe, their regulatory body has fast-tracked FSD beta being tested in Europe to January 2024 instead of before it was going to be a year later. We're hearing rumors that China is about to do this as well. So it's crazy that we're hearing regulation actually fast-tracking it rather than what everybody assumed was that regulation will just be decades away from now. It'll just never happen, because the truth is, it's showing that it works and it's safer. So, yeah.
Right. And if, you know, if they have the data, if they can prove through a third party, a regulatory body, you know, like NHTSA or Euro NCAP or whatever, if they can use those entities to show that it is whatever amount safer, then governments don't really have a choice. You can't have this, you know, that's going to save, you know, opposite. Whatever. Exactly. You can't save so many lives a year and be like, all right, here's the data from third parties. And then be like, nah, we don't want that. It makes no sense. Like you pretty much have to do it at that point. You know, the only point kind of like that I pointed out before, you know, like you said, Elon has talked a lot about 10X, or I think he said with Hardware 4, it could be 20X or whatever, safer, 10 times safer than a human, let's say. Personally, I don't think that's enough. I mean, it depends on what your goals are, right? If your goal is to get Europe to approve it and you say it's 10 times safer than a person, then yeah, of course they're going to approve it. But to allow something like a level 4 system, on the road that's only 10, you know, I'm being real picky here, but only 10 times safer than a human. I just don't think it's good enough, because you get your, in the US, what, 500,000 accidents a year, maybe more than that. And you get that to 50,000 accidents a year. Well, you can't have Tesla having, not that they're driving 100% of the miles, but you kind of get, you know, the idea that I'm going for.
Yeah, but it's going to be exponential. So that's the March of Nines. It will be exponential. Right. The rate of it going from 10 times safer to 100 times safer will be faster than it takes them to get from where it is now, 6 times safer to 10 times safer.
Yeah.
And the other thing that's what we were just saying is that if the rule, the regulation is actually going to work in favor of robot or, you know, this full self-driving. Just what is it, a month ago, NHTSA announced that they have a new regulation that they're going to enforce, which is that every car manufacturer must have automatic emergency braking. Right. And it was a very, I don't remember the exact words, but it's actually very, very specific. Like, it needs to be able to recognize humans. It needs to be able to react in a certain speed and all that. So it's not like you can just take the existing AEBs that's already out there, like Mercedes has it and others might have it. A few car manufacturers has it, but theirs is very primitive.
Right.
The one that Tesla has is very, very sophisticated. And so once they enact that law, these are the kinds of extra laws that is going to continue to happen, that's going to force you to actually have this enhanced ADAS even before robotaxi.
Right.
So it's the way I see what the FSD is actually much more like an ADAS system, which is safety. And the occupancy network is just amazing, which is the car being able to know which area is occupied by something or not, and therefore don't hit it. And then to be able to do emergency maneuvers as a high speed maneuvers to make sure it doesn't hit anything. It can do that now. It's pretty crazy. So wonderful. Okay. Thank you so much, Chris. I appreciate this. You are an original beta tester. You've been doing that for 3 years. You are a tremendous YouTube account. You've probably driven, do you think you've driven more miles than most other, I mean, obviously most, but are you one of the top, you think, or do you keep track of that?
You know, maybe not anymore now that beta goes to everybody. There are some people that drive a lot, but I mean, I myself drive like usually 70 miles minimum a day, usually more than that.
Wow.
And so, you know, of course, over the years of using beta, I really racked up the miles. So I had time to kind of rack up miles before other people had access. I would estimate I probably have 50-ish thousand miles on beta, something like that, maybe a little more. So it's got to be up there, but
for sure. I forgot to ask you. I did want to ask you. So there's a gentleman named Dan O'Dowd who is a CEO of a software company that is providing different kinds of software that's competitive to Tesla's. So he speaks very poorly and rightly so, because it's an issue for his own company. So he's been trying to, he actually paid for ads to try to talk down, you know, prove that Tesla's FSD is dangerous to the public. He's been doing everything he can. So he's got a proposal where he's going to go and do a head-to-head testing where he and some members of the Tesla Twitter community, so Ross Gerber, has said yes, but he had approached you first, you and Omar and Chuck Cook. Tell me what you're thinking about that test that's actually going to happen tomorrow, Thursday. This video will come out maybe Saturday. So today's Wednesday. So tomorrow's Thursday, and that test might actually happen then.
Sure. So he approached several people first. I don't really see much of his tweets. I don't just algorithm. I don't know. Yeah. I don't have him muted, but they just don't really come to me. So I guess he had been kind of pinging people a bit. Yeah. Like you said, Omar and Chuck, some other people. And then they were all, I don't know exactly what they said. They either said no, or they, you know, had their own kind of, they were like, oh, but you come to me or whatever happened. Yeah. So Dan said, he tagged me and he said, hey, everyone else said no. I don't know if that's true, but that's what he said. Will you come out and do this testing with me? And, you know, so he's in California. I'm in Michigan. I have two kids. I have a full-time job. I'm not a billionaire with a private jet. I can't just like fly over the country, whatever, which to be clear, he did offer to pay for my plane ticket, which is very generous. And he said, will you come out and do this testing with me? And like I said earlier, the point of my videos and my channel is to show the truth, whether it's a good or bad thing. And then people can use that data. So, you know, I had no problem with it. I was like, okay, if everyone else says no, I DM'd him and I said, what's the plan? It took him a few days and he was like, oh, my team hasn't been able to respond to you yet. I'm like, what is that? Just open your phone and message me. Like, what are you talking about, your team? So I agreed to do it because no one else would. That was my kind of in my head at the time. then it took him a long time in between messages, which whatever. He finally told me, hey, Ross Gerber, like before this was public knowledge, he's like, hey, Ross Gerber agreed to come out and do this. I'm working on a date with him and then I'll let you know. And so my initial thought was like, okay, good. I don't have to do this because someone else is going to go. And Ross Gerber, like, is, I don't know that much about him, but I know he's a millionaire with millions of dollars worth of Tesla shares, right? So he obviously has an incentive to make Tesla look good in some capacity, much more than I do, because I don't own, you know, I own two Tesla shares right now. and I love the company and I think it's going to do great things, but I don't work there. I don't have like an incentive to, you know, make it look good for whatever reason. So in my mind, I was like, all right, you got Dan, who's like way super over the top negative for Tesla. And then you got Ross, which from what I've heard, he's very positive about Tesla, but it seems like in a pretty logical way. Cool. Sounds like a good thing. And then he started going a little crazy on Twitter saying like, oh, everybody, you know, said no. And they refused to come. And I'm like, dude, I said I would go, but since you have somebody, I don't want to use my vacation days. Like that was the biggest thing. I don't want to have to take vacation days off work. I only have like six left for the year to go do this test with you. You already have somebody. And it's across the country. It's just, you know, whatever, film your video. His tests are, I don't know. Honestly, his tweets kind of freak me out a little bit. Like the way he talks on Twitter is a little scary. Like he honestly scares me a little bit. He's also a billionaire. And, you know, I talked to somebody and they advised me that if I do this, I should first talk to a lawyer and get some type of protection. And I'm like, I am literally just some guy in Michigan. Yep. There is nothing special about me. I don't have a lawyer. I don't know how to do any of this stuff.
So he's got an agenda. He spent tens and tens of millions of dollars trying to discredit Tesla, billboards, everything. He's doing everything he can to protect his own company.
So, he going to do to me is my kind of thought. So
it's not worth it.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. I look forward to seeing the test though. I mean, I want to see it.
Yeah.
I don't really care about him.
I mean, obviously Ross is the wrong person to do it. He's not a beta tester. He barely even uses it.
I don't know him, but I don't know if he uses it. So it's kind of,
no, he's obviously, you know, he's an investment advisor, owns his own company. He's doing that all the time. He's on TV to speak about Tesla as an investment, but he's not a beta tester, you know, like occasionally here and there. And so what I've heard is that, you know, Dan wants a very specific route. And so you can't let that be just say sure, because that route might have been designed to be the, you know, the one that has the, you know, whatever reflections, you put mirrors here and there and, you know, designed to really try to really confuse the car. But okay, interesting. We'll see what happens there. But I knew your story, you were part of it, so I wanted to ask you that question.
Right.
Okay. Thank you so much, Chris. I appreciate that. That was great. Everyone, you know, you got to check out Chris on YouTube, his channel called Dirty Tesla. He's also on Twitter at Dirty Tesla. So hopefully you learned something new. And I think we're going to be surprised how fast FSD is going to come. And, you know, all the work you've done in the last 3 years, it feels slow, but then the way exponential curves work is that it will just improve so much, much faster. So you can't look backwards, you got to look forward. But, you know, thank you for sharing all that with us.
For sure. Thank you so much for having me. It was a lot of fun. And beta is quite impressive these days compared to what we used to have. So I'm looking forward to that exponential keep going.
And I'll tell you, man, you're in history. Your name's going to be in history. This is amazing. I mean, I just, you know, goosebumps. Okay. Thanks, everybody. Bye-bye.